This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. We're going to talk about Trump and the judges and what do we do if he actually starts ignoring them. Someone has a question about Lankford, public lands. We are all, someone doesn't want me to give up on the debt stuff, selling RVs. We're all over the place in our final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And your final reminder is right now. I'm not going to do this again. On Monday, we are doing a Memorial Day show. We are doing it live. There are no ads on Monday. There won't be any politics on Monday. There won't be any goofing off on Monday. It will be all war stories and history and honoring the fallen. And if you have a name of somebody who gave their life for this country, name, rank, and conflict, you can email it in now, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I'm not making a promise because I don't want to ever violate that promise, but I will try once again to read every one of them on the air as some very, very tiny way to honor their sacrifice for this country and to pay respect for the families they left behind. All right? All right. Hey, Jesse, I agree Trump must ignore these judges and do what the American people voted for him to do. However, if he does, can you imagine the bloodbath he will take from Democrats in the mainstream media? Okay, let's talk about this general mentality, because it's an understandable concern. What if Trump was to just say, I don't care about your ruling, Supreme Court, whatever court it is. No, you don't have an army. I do. I'm not doing that. I'm going to continue to do what the American people elected me to do. And you think the Democrats and the mainstream media will savage him? Well, you're correct. They will savage him. However, these are the tools of the communists. The American media, they're on the communist side. If they're not savaging you, you are on their side. They consider you to be not a threat or flat out on their team. They should be losing their minds about you at all times. It's like when I get emails from people about communists hate you. Doesn't it bother you that all these communists hate you? You don't understand. I want communists to hate me. I love when communists email in and tell me how much they hate me. It's because that confirms that I'm against them. And the things I say bother them. Like when Rush Limbaugh died. We lost our great goat. We lost Rush Limbaugh. And how many communists did you see and hear celebrating? Ah, it's so great. Oh, we said it was all over the place. And a lot of people on the right got bothered by that. Hey, I don't like it. Hey, that's so terrible. Hey, that's it. And I tried to explain, I bet you Rush loved it. I want them throwing a parade when I finally die, whenever that is. When I die and the communists start dancing on my grave, don't get sad. Don't get angry about it. Smile. That's what I want. I want them, I want these evil people to hate me badly enough that they will cheer when I'm gone. That's one of my goals in life, is that they will cheer when I'm gone. That's what I want. I'll be in heaven smiling, so you do the same. We cannot, when it comes to judges, when it comes to anything, we can never, ever, ever base what we do on how they might react, on how angry they might get. It doesn't work in that way. And one of the main reasons it doesn't work in that way is outrage, a whipped up outrage, insane outrage is one of their main tools. They use it all the time. It's why they are always taking to the streets. It's why they have so many different paid protester and paid protester groups, because noise and chaos and the appearance of anger has always been a tool in the belt of the revolutionary. That's why they do it. I talked earlier about the Uvalde school shooting and how the Republicans caved and why they went along with it. They went along with it in part because of so much noise created by the left. They felt pressured to join in and do something. It's why everybody caved after St. George Floyd died, from Trump to Tim Scott to everybody else. We'll have a police roundtable and federal. Why? There was so much noise nationally. This is a racist country. And there was so much noise created by the left that it causes people to want to do something. It's human nature to want to react to that, to want to respond to that. A toddler. Chris has one right now. Chris is going through it. He's got the tantrum phase. Enjoying that, Chris? Why do they do that? Because it's effective. It's an effective way. It can be, I should say, it can be effective if you let it get to you. You want to respond to make it stop. Have you ever seen the toddler in the grocery store laying on the floor, causing a scene? Ah, you won't let me get my Rice Krispies. Ah! Have you ever seen the mom cave? Okay, just have some Rice Krispies. She just wants the noise to stop. By the way, don't cave. Don't you ever cave. Tell that kid if they don't get up, you're going to give them a reason to. So anyway, but that's how communists operate in the exact same way. Create enough noise to get you to give them something to get what they want. I've used the example before. Have you ever been in a restaurant somewhere and some dude's with his girl, with wife, girlfriend, whatever it is, and she starts getting loud because she's mad at him? And she starts getting louder and louder, and now everyone's looking. Everyone's looking. You're daggone right she knows what she's doing, Chris. That's why she's doing it. And what's he start doing? No, baby, calm down. No, baby, I'm sorry. No, baby. He knows everyone's looking, and she's doing it because everyone's looking. That's how communists operate in this country. All right, Jesse, being from Montana, I'm sure you understand the hot topic of public land. I'm from Utah. It seems every single elected official here is bound and determined to get public land turned over to state ownership, and the loudest voice being Mike Lee. They claim it's to create more homes and make it more affordable to own a home. I tend to like what Lee has to say, but I'm very much opposed to this idea. The sale of portions of public land isn't unheard of, but it seems like it's always an LLC who purchases it, ends up fencing it off, and Utahans lose access for hunting, fishing, and other recreation. What are your thoughts about public land? Well, first, the federal government owns too much land. Let's be clear about that right off the bat. That the federal government, which is supposed to be limited, is the largest landowner in the country is insane. That is crazy. If you told the founding fathers that, they would lose their freaking minds. It was never supposed to be like that at all. However, if you allow these people to, if you allow them to sell off every beautiful piece of ground in this country that is used for hiking and hunting and fishing and whatnot, they will throw up dog crap apartment complexes all over every square inch of this country. And you wake up one day and you can't take your kid fishing up at Flathead Lake in Montana anymore because there's apartments surrounding the whole daggone thing. We went to Lake Conroe. When my dad was still alive, he came down, grabbed me and the boys, and we went up to Lake Conroe fishing. And I'd never been on Lake Conroe before. It's a lake in Texas, by the way. I went up on Lake Conroe, and I'm used to Montana lakes. Montana lakes oftentimes are extremely remote, and there's nobody on them. I was mortified by Lake Conroe. Why? There's not a square inch of shoreline that hasn't been sold off and developed. Not a single square inch. My dad and I marveled at it because we were used to Montana We marveled at it. And we actually said, these people just, they just let these people build up every single square inch of lakefront. So the lake, it's not like you're on the lake. It's like you're in a subdivision driving a boat through a subdivision. That's exactly what it's like. I hate that. There is a place for lakefront property. Shoot, I'd love to have one. There's a place for lakefront property, so I'm not against it in general. But if you allow that stuff to go completely out of control, you will destroy every single beautiful thing out there, and that can't be allowed. That cannot be allowed. So that's where I stand on that. That makes sense? All right. Somebody needs some Lankford help, but somebody first wants RV advice. All right. We will get to RV advice, help with James Lankford, and we'll talk about the debt a little bit more next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, a wonderful Jesse Kelly Show, because it's a wonderful Friday heading into a long weekend where I hope you will enjoy family and friends and food. And I want to remind you that the guys who gave their life for this country would want you to. No, that's not what the weekend is about, but they would want you to have a beer and a hot dog and talk to your mother. That's what they would want, okay? So go enjoy your weekend, and we will honor the fallen on a Monday. Hey, Mighty Oracle, since you come from a background of selling RVs, what are your top three manufacturers or brands other than Airstream of affordable, lightweight bumper tow RV trailers for a nester couple to purchase? Towable with a half ton with a V8. Says his name is Guz. All right, Guz, let me explain something to you, okay? And I'm just going to give this to you right between the eyes, all right? Laws of physics haven't changed, okay? You want a lightweight, affordable, tow-behind RV that is quality. There's no such thing. Let me explain. I'm not telling you not to buy it. I'm not. You need to adjust your expectations. If you are going to create an RV of any kind, whether it's a big fifth wheel or a tow behind or whatever it is, it has to be towable by a vehicle, whether it's a half ton like you have or even a big diesel. Therefore, you are limited by weight. You are limited by weight. So to make the RV, they have to make it with lightweight material. Lightweight material is dog crap, okay? I'd ever tell you I held a $40,000 watch one time. I don't own it. I've never owned something like this. But one of my buddies, his dad had died and left him a Cartier watch. Now, I don't know about Cartier, but obviously it's expensive. And he showed me online it was worth $40,000. And I said, can I hold it? I'm never going to have one, something like that. He said, yeah. The first thing that struck me was the weight of it. It was freaking heavy because of the quality, the amount of metal, the things they put in it. Well, RVs work exactly the same way. If you want something super light that you can tow behind a half ton, you are going to buy something that will break and have problems. They only make two kinds of RVs, no matter how much you're spending. They only make two kinds, ones that have had problems and ones that will have problems. And don't think that I'm just telling you this now. I told that exact same thing to everyone I ever sold an RV to. I want to make sure your expectations are managed. When you get to wherever you're going, you're going to turn on the faucet and it's going to leak sometimes. Your air conditioning is going to break. You're going to have leaky windows. You're going to have roof problems at some point in time. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. They're a blast, and people who get into it love it. But if you think you're buying a miniature home that's just kind of a hotel room on wheels that you can tow around, you are unbelievably mistaken. And when they break, it's not like a car where, you know, you snap a belt, you got to go drop it off. Maybe 3-4 hours, maybe even a day, you're picking it up again. No. When you take it into the dealership to drop it off, the dealership is going to have to reach out. It's a warranty item. They're going to have to go to the manufacturer. They're going to have to grab the parts. I've seen RVs sit in an RV lot for 6 months waiting to get fixed. Chris is losing his mind right now. Now, that may be an extreme situation. I'm not saying it's always 6 months. I'm saying there's no such thing as a quality, lightweight bumper pull RV. It does not exist. It cannot exist, because otherwise it wouldn't be 5,000 pounds. It would be 100,000 pounds, and no one would be able to tow the stupid thing. All right? I'm sorry if that burst your bubble. That was not my intention. And I think you and your wife should, as empty nesters, go get an affordable one and go. But if I may, rent one first. Rent one a couple times. Make sure you can tow it comfortably. Some people can't. We call them women. Not quit. Make sure you can tow it comfortably. Make sure you're used to the bed situation. Make sure you can get by when something breaks. And as a final point, somebody like Chris should own an RV before somebody like me should. It's not that I can't do basic construction things, because I've worked construction my whole life. But Chris, Jewish producer Chris, is mechanically inclined. Like rebuilding engines and that kind of weird crap. I would rather die than rebuild a car engine. Somebody like Chris, he's going to be able to work on his own RV. The people who are happiest with them are the ones when the faucet leaks, they don't freak. They go get some Teflon tape, pull out the wrenches, screw a couple things in, and get the thing fixed up. Now, I'm not saying that has to be you, but if it's not you, if that faucet leaks and you immediately have to take it in, it's going to be a long, hard road. All right? Is that too much of a Debbie Downer, Chris? I didn't mean it. I didn't mean for it to be. What? It's about setting expectations. That's exactly my point. I don't want you to think you're buying a house on wheels, because you're not. It's made. You ever the styrofoam coffee cups? You know the styrofoam coffee cups? That's your insulation. You realize that? It's just styrofoam in the walls. That's what they are. There ain't no quality one. They all break, but they're still fun. I still love them. I love Pure Talk too. What's more American than Pure Talk? Pure Talk, as we go into the patriotic holidays, Memorial Day, we got Independence Day coming up. Pure Talk has a mission, and it's not burning down Foot Locker. That's T-Mobile. That's AT&T. That's Verizon. Remember all those corporate donations to all those street animals? Pure Talk, they're giving out allegiance flags. It's an American flag. It's the highest quality because it's made in America. They're giving out flags to 1,000 veterans. Isn't that freaking cool? They have plans that start at $25 a month. $25 a month for a cell phone, and you're not sacrificing coverage. Remember, they're on the exact same 5G network as one of the big guys. You pick up your phone. It's easy to switch. You can keep your phone, remember. You keep your number. It's easy. Go talk to an American on the phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Support vets. Switch to America's patriotic wireless company. #250 and say Jesse Kelly. All right. Someone has a question about Lankford and COVID stuff. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The subject of this one is giving up on the federal debt problem. Jesse, I'm wondering why you are giving up on this issue. Last night, I was kind of having a pouty moment, and I was frustrated. And I said that nobody wants to cut spending, and I'm just accepted that we're going to spend until I was having a pouty moment. Okay, and that's what this guy's addressing. He said, I'm wondering why you're giving up on this issue. While most people are ignorant about the threat of communism, you still seek to educate them. when COVID mandates were rampant, you didn't give in to tyranny. When racism was welcomed under Biden, you didn't throw up your hands and surrender. Please don't stop speaking the truth about the problems and dangers of uncontrolled and irresponsible federal spending. The uninformed masses need to hear wisdom from the Oracle on this issue, and his name is Wyatt. Okay, I was having a pouty moment, and I shouldn't have said it, because it's not true anyway. I'm still going to freak out whenever Republicans spend too much money and when Democrats spend too much money. It upsets me. I was having a pouty moment. I'm not going to give up on it. Sometimes I get so frustrated with DC that, well, let's be honest with you. I've told you this before, so it's not going to come as some earth-shattering shock unless you're a brand new listener. Do you know that I actually don't enjoy talking politics all the time? Do you know that? Did you know that if I had my choice, if all else aside, that I would do history like every show? That's all I would do. You realize that? I'd talk about history and food, maybe some sports too. I enjoy sports. I talk politics because it's necessary, because it's important. It's important. It is not my deep burning passion that I enjoy. I have other things that I enjoy more than I enjoy politics. I feel an obligation to be involved. Our country needs us. You have to stay involved. Even when you get burnt out, even when you get frustrated, you can't do what I said I was going to do and just quit. You can't do it. I'd love to just make an announcement. You know what? I'm done with the Jesse Kelly show as far as political talk. I'm gonna do a history podcast a couple times a week or so. I would actually love to do that. I can't. This stuff matters a lot. And federal spending matters a lot. And these people don't care. They just keep blowing out the budget and blowing out the budget and blowing out the budget. Republicans do it, and then Democrats do it, and then Republicans do it, and Democrats do it. And that Moody's, you heard that Moody's downgraded our credit rating, right? I'm not going to act like that's the end of the world, but that is a huge indicator that the world is getting alarmed with our debt. And this new budget that they're trying to ram through, it adds $20 trillion to the debt over enough time. Our debt goes from 36, I think, to 57, something crazy, something bonkers. And this is under Republican leadership. Massey talked about it.
Well, I'd love to stand here and tell the American people, we can cut your taxes and we can increase spending and everything's going to be just fine. But I can't do that because I'm here to deliver a dose of reality. This bill dramatically increases deficits in the near term, but promises our government will be fiscally responsible 5 years from now. Where have we heard that before? How do you bind a future Congress to these promises? This bill is a debt bomb ticking. Congress can do funny math, fantasy math, if it wants, but bond investors don't. And this week, they sent us a message. Moody's downgraded our credit rating, and the bond investors who buy our debt and finance our debt demanded higher interest rates on the 10-year note, the 20-year note, and the 30-year note. What does this mean? Very soon, the government will be paying $16,000 of interest alone per U.S. family. And what are we telling them? Instead of taking care of that problem, we're going to give you a $1,600 tax break. Under the taxing and spending levels in this bill, we're going to rack up, the authors say, $20 trillion of new debt over the next 10 years. I'm telling you, it's closer to $30 trillion of new debt in the next 10 years.
That's staggering. And the bond investor part of that is frightening. They're jacking up our interest rates because they don't think we're a reliable investment anymore. I just talked about selling RVs. That's how it works. You realize that. You walk in to buy an RV. You want to have a great interest rate on whatever loan? It's going to depend on your credit score and your credit history. You walk in to buy an RV from me with a 750 credit score, I'm going to be able to shop you around, and the banks will actually compete to get your loan because you are so reliable. They will compete and give you a great interest rate. You walk in with a 550 credit score, I'll get someone to buy it, maybe, if you're lucky, maybe a bank or two, and you're going to pay 17%, and you're going to like it, or you're not going to have an RV. That's how life works, not just buying RVs, with countries. Our debt, bond investors buy it historically. That's how we've piled up so much of it. They buy it because we've been a reliable investment. Yeah, absolutely. Let's loan America some more money. They always pay it back. And these are not Republicans. They're not Democrats. They're just finance guys. They just look at numbers. As we speak now, before there's a new bill, as we speak right now, they're looking at us and they're saying, I don't know about this credit score. There are some things on there that are red flags. We're going to have to charge you more. I had a guy one time, I remember it. He used to have a great credit score, and he walked in the RV dealership to buy an RV from me, and he was very, very angry that his interest rate was really high. And we pulled a credit report. When we pull a credit report, it's not just what you get, which is a score. We have your entire credit history. It's amazing how detailed it is. All that is available with your Social Security number. Did you know that? I can see everything you've every line of credit you've ever taken out, bankruptcies, medical bills. It's all on there. Your entire history is on there. And I said, you want to know why you have a high interest rate? Because you still owe $200 to Verizon. They've referred you to collections. And you know what this moron told me? Well, they screwed me over, and I told them I wasn't going to pay it, and I didn't pay it. And I said, wow, you really showed them. Now you can't have an RV. Boy, you really got them there. That's how it works. Jesse, I listen to your radio program most every night. Last night you hit the nail on the head once again with the comment about the only way to bring business back to the U.S. is to get rid of the EPA. Look, like I said, we can manipulate this and massage this and twist this around and put this fine on these guys, and we're going to fine the EU, and we're going to that's fine. Whatever. That's fine. But we will not bring back American manufacturing in a lasting, significant way that changes and improves the lives of Americans until the business environment of this country gets better. And we will not have a better business environment in this country until Democrats stop being prosperity-hating savages. That's the truth. We regulate and tax and fine and regulate and tax and fine and permit. And it's a nightmare to do anything in this country. A nightmare to do anything now. Years and years and years of new laws and new rules and new laws and new rules has made it impossible to do business, and businesses went elsewhere. That is the real root of the problem here. All right. We only have one segment left, so I want you to do something for me real quick. We have a long weekend coming up. I want you to get a hold of Legacy Box, because during this long weekend, as you gather with friends and family, I want you to think about all the hard copy pictures you have. That picture of Grandpa from World War II. Photo albums, wedding, baby. Do you have any home movies? That time at the beach? Why don't you ensure those last forever? Instead of letting time, fire, flood fade them away. Will your great-grandkids even know what you look like, sound like? What Legacy Box does is they send you a box, and you put that stuff in the box, and at your leisure, by the way. And when you're done doing that, you send that box into Legacy Box. They're in Tennessee. You're not sending it overseas. This is an American company, American jobs. And by hand, they digitize all that stuff so you have it forever. Right there on your phone, whatever. That's precious, man. That's awesome. LegacyBox.com/Jesse gets you a great deal. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday before we go into a Memorial Day weekend. If you missed any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you don't listen live on Monday for our Memorial Day special, download that the next day. I think you'll probably enjoy it. We try. It can be heavy, right? We're talking about people who gave their lives for the country, but we do the best we can. I'm sure I fall short. How do you honor somebody who gave their life for the country? There's no way. But we try the best we can to honor those who gave their lives and to respect their families that are left behind, for sure. Because it's something that has always meant the world to me. So we have the opportunity now, because this stupid show got so big, we have the opportunity now to do that nationwide. So we will attempt to do that on Monday as best we can. Hey, Jesse, I turned on a Christian podcast this week and heard an interview with Senator Lankford about his new book, Turnaround, dealing with revival in America. All kinds of bells and whistles went off in my mind having listened to your show. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to retain the information about reasons of your negative view of the man. Can you give me a brief review lesson? Her name's Karen. Well, I already talked about him earlier, so I think I probably cleared that up for you. But that's how James Lankford and many like him get elected. These people use shields that they know appeal to us. They all do it. Trump is a very common one now. John Cornyn has already begun his "look how Trumpy I am" campaign here in Texas. He knows he's in trouble in that primary, so he is sucking up to Trump. We already talked about this. He has leadership like John Thune working on Trump, already trying to get Trump to endorse him. Now, why? Because John Cornyn wants to be reelected, and Trump is popular, so he's trying to draft off of that. They do it with immigration all the time. When it's election season and you're a Republican, you stand up and talk about how many illegals you're going to deport. And then the second you get reelected, you go work with Democrats trying to pass amnesty. That's exactly what James Lankford did. In Bible Belt places like Oklahoma, where church attendance is through the roof, you can win a lot of elections being the Christian guy running for Senate. And they will excuse or ignore the fact that you go back to Washington, D.C. and screw them over all the time because you were in church with them on Sunday. James Lankford tried to get amnesty passed with Joe Biden during the last year of Joe Biden's presidency. He vocally, loudly tried to get amnesty passed. While these savages were importing 20 million people, James Lankford tried to help them import more. But he gets elected in Oklahoma with the whole "look how Christian I am" thing. That's my pastor. I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's go to church. I love Jesus. I love amnesty for a bunch of barbarians, but I also love Jesus. Very, very effective. Jesse, with your prediction of social media ending American communism, I would agree with you with the exception of artificial intelligence. Do you think AI can reverse the gains you speak of? Well, right now there is a huge, huge global war going on with AI, artificial intelligence. And so much of this goes above my head because I don't do technology, as you know, but I know what AI is, so do you. And the global war is countries are competing and companies are competing to control it and create the superior AI. And look, I don't want to freak you out. I don't want to freak myself out, and I don't know what the future is going to bring, but you can look at this and you can see so many ugly things that will come from it, including job loss, unbelievable amounts of job loss of companies that are just going to AI everything. I ordered Taco Bell, not to brag, but I got the extra creamy jalapeno sauce on it. I ordered Taco Bell yesterday, swung through the drive-thru. I just wanted a chicken quesadilla. I was out. The person taking the order was not a person. It was AI. Now, I drove up to the window and there was still someone in there, but that's someone else's job. Gone. And I realized maybe you're scoffing at that. It's Taco Bell. Someone doesn't have a paycheck anymore. And that's Taco Bell. I've told you about my buddy who he still sells RVs. That's what he does. The advancements he sees in AI, he has AI salesmen and saleswomen. You get online and you want to chat with somebody, You're chatting with AI. It is, it's a global war going on for control of it. And remember what the Biden administration did? A lot of people forget this. The Biden, Chris, if you can grab it, I think it was Scott Bessent. What was his name? Maybe not Scott, but no, it wasn't Bessent. It wasn't Bessent. Mark, somebody. The guy who said the Obama or the Biden administration brought him in, Mark Andreessen, maybe is his name. The billionaire guy who said Biden brought him in and they had a plan to control completely artificial intelligence. And they were going to do it, of course. Oh, you have it? Go ahead, play it.
The meetings were absolutely horrifying, and we came out basically deciding we had to endorse Trump.
What did you hear in those meetings?
AI is a technology basically that the government is going to completely control. This is not going to be a startup thing. They actually said flat out to us, don't do AI startups. Like, don't fund AI startups. It's not something that we're going to allow to happen. They're not going to be allowed to exist. There's no point. They basically said AI is going to be a game of two or three big companies working closely with the government, and we're going to basically wrap them in a, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to basically wrap them in a government cocoon. We're going to protect them from competition. We're going to control them, and we're going to dictate what they do. And then I said, well, yeah, I said, I don't understand how you're going to lock this down so much, because like the math for, you know, AI is like out there and it's being taught everywhere. And, you know, they literally said, well, you know, during the Cold War, we classified entire areas of physics and took them out of the research community, and like entire branches of physics basically went dark and didn't proceed. And that if we decide we need to, we're going to do the same thing to the math underneath AI.
And, wow.
And I said, I've just learned two very important things, because I wasn't aware of the former, and I wasn't aware that you were, you know, even conceiving of doing it to the latter.
There's a war for it, and the communists are fighting it. But I don't know that they're going to win it, right? But there is a war for it, and I don't know where this is all going to go. I guess we'll find out together. And we'll find out with our dogs, because our dogs are all, they're all getting rough greens. Your dog's getting rough greens, right? You are giving your dog some nutrition. You know there's no nutrition in that dog food. You get that? That dog food lasts forever, and it's brown because they killed everything in it at the factory. That's why it lasts. Your dog doesn't get vitamins and minerals and that special beef blend you buy. There's no beef left. It's all dead. Rough Greens is alive, created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. Sprinkle it on your dog's food and watch your dog come alive. Better energy. Or if you have a hyperactive dog, it calms them down. Digestive problems. That it's amazing. It's miraculous what it did to Fred's digestive system. Call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. That gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Now, one final word. Treasure your weekend. Treasure your family. Take a moment with your family to remember the fallen, and we will be here Monday to do a Memorial Day show. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.